Today's Perek in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Shevi'i. So, there were some kirot that were made with a very thick bottom, and they weren't placed directly on the ground. Now, those were called kaletet. So, the kalatot of Baalei Batim, where they have a kira that they would keep in a house, and they would use this base to make the fire on, over there, if it was nifchata, and it gradually got eaten away. So now the fire is getting lower and lower beneath the holes on the top of the kira. How low can it sink? Meaning, how much of a hole can be left inside of the kaletet before the fire is considered to be too far away to be properly functioning kira to cook the pots on top? So if it's less than shlosha tefachim, that is still a functional kira, and because of that, it's tmeah. Shuhu masik milamata ukedera b'sheila milamala. He can still light the fire, and there will be enough heat to boil up a pot over it on top. But more than that, if it's deeper, so it's three tefachim or more, then it's not going to be mekabel tum anymore. It's viewed as broken, because the fire is so far away that you can't possibly use it for heating. But how about if you put like a stone, or you put pebbles inside the area where there was the hole, and now it comes again to be closer, it's still considered to be tehora, because that stone, even though it will make the kira work, but it's not part of the kira. And as we saw before, it's not sufficient to have functionality of a kli. You also need a kli. And over here, you don't have a kli. Stones and pebbles are not a kli. However, if you're a mirchabetit, and you connected all of this, and then it got baked, then it's mekabel tuma, but only from this point forward, because it lost whatever tuma that it had when it reached the point of breakage, which was the mark of shlosha tefachim. As a matter of fact, this Mishnah became the proof that Rabbi Yehuda needed and used about the case that we had earlier in the fifth parak. Remember, we had the case of an oven. There was a tanur, not a kirayim. And you would put the tanur on top of a deep hole in the ground, and it couldn't get hot enough to actually cook. And then we talked about the case if you put a stone on the bottom of it, and you would cook it up. And Rabbi Yehuda tainted, well, that's no good. Well, this Mishnah actually served him as his proof text. And zu haita teshuvat Rabbi Yehuda about the case of the tanur that you put al pi ha-ba'or or al pi ha-dut that we had before, that just like over here, the not being able to cook on top means it's not considered to be a proper kira. The same thing is true about a tanur, and it's not a proper tanur either. Or the case was, it's a machlokas of how to read the Mishnah, that the case he was proving was the case where you put the even onto the tanur, and he tainted, it's not a chibur, and the Rabbanan tainted, he doesn't need a chibur, but that was because, remember, they had a special posik, utmeim heim lachem afilu talui betzavaro shel gamal. We ended up saying that that was the machlokas, how to apply that posik, was the machlokas before in Perek Chamishi. Anyway, continuing on. How about a dachon, sheyesh bo beit kibul kiderot? Now, a dachon is a shelf, and in this shelf, it has a place where when you take off a frying pan or a pot from the top of the stove, you put it onto this, shelf, and it's got a place just big enough to put down that pot so that it's very convenient, doesn't burn the counter, and it stays warm. So it has a beit kibul. It is not considered to be part of the kira. And if the kira itself becomes tame, it's not going to cause the dachon to be tame. But of course, it's a kli, and it's got a beit kibul, because it's got a place to hold the pot, and therefore it could become tame mishum kli kibul of itself. And this would be even if it's attached to the kira. Now, that's something of a problem, because if it's not a kira and it's attached to the ground, then it's not tame, because only a kira and a tanur that's attached to the ground is tame. So we would have to learn that the case is talking about over here, that that's dafka if the kira was in fact a portable kira and was built on a kaletet. So in Okinami, some of the farshim say that's what we've got to be talking about. Hatzdanim shalo. How about the sides of the dochon? Hanogea behem inotame mishum kira. Something that touches this, of course, would be oichlin umashkin, which can become tame from the outside of the kli. So something that touches it from the outside is not going to become tame if the kira is tame. And the rachav shalo is the wall that it shares with the actual kira itself, the inner wall. So there we have a machlokas. Rabbi Meir says even the rachav shalo, where the kira is tame, the outside of it is not considered to be the part that's attached to the dochan, is not considered to be the outside of the kira. It's considered to be the inside of the dochan. And therefore, since the dochon is not part of the kira, even touching that wall would not be metameyu. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, but fundamentally this is part of the kira, and then you're not going to be mevatel a piece of the wall of the kira to the dochon, which is secondary to the kira, are you? So because of that, it's metame. The same situation would be if you took a sal, and the sal would be made out of reeds or out of wooden material, and it's very wide, so you weren't, well, there you go. You have this sal, which becomes essentially the kira on top of it. So you use the outside of this sal, and it continues on. It sticks out, obviously, further than the kira, and it provides a stand for the kira. And the stand that it provides, because it's round, it sticks out further than the kira, and it has room to hold pots, because it becomes the counter to the stovetop. And you use it for those pots. And it now is essentially the equivalent of this dochan. So then this blita that we have over here, which is the equivalent of a dochan, can't really call it a dochan literally, but it has the din of the dochan, and the sal itself could be Bekabel Tumah, perhaps, as Kli Eitz, but it's not going to be Bekabel Tumah as a Kli Kira. Mishnah Gimel. Akira Shenechleka Laorka. Remember that Akira has, by definition, two burners. Burner being not literally burner, but two holes in the top that allow you to put a pot on top of them. Now, if you slice through this kira along its length, you just killed it because you cut through both holes. If you cut, see the Naftali picture there, if you cut through its width, then you've left two functional kirot, except that they've got an open wall, but there you've got a place which is essentially a kupach. A kupach is a one-burner type of kira. So if you cut through both of the holes, then it's tar, because it's useless. But if you cut through it widthwise, l'rochba, then it's tame. A kupach, shenechlak, obviously if it's a one burner, doesn't matter what direction you cut it, you're killing it. So a kupach, doesn't matter whether you cut through it or along its length or along its width, it's going to be tahar. Now how about the chatzar of the kira? The chatzar of the kira is, as we saw before, the concept of chatzar, we create a yard, so to speak. So we have got this larger kli with a lip. You put the kira in the middle of it, and now it's protected and surrounded with this chatzar. And you put the kira on top of it. So then the halacha is, if the lip of it is gavoa shalosh etzba'ot, so then that is the minimum shiur. Shalosh etzba'ot is the minimum shiur of a kira, like we had before in the fifth parak. And therefore, it would be metama b'maga uba'avir. The chiddush over here is that even if the tuma was in the kira, the chotzer would be viewed as a extension of the kira, so that whether the tuma was in the chotzer or whether the tuma was in the kira, it would be all considered to be the same kli. But if the lip around the chotzer is less than shalosh etzba'ot, so then it would be metama b'maga, but eina metama b'avir. Since in this case, you cannot view it as anything but a yad. It is a yad. You pick up the entire device by the chotzer, So it certainly is a yad to the kira. But remember that a yad we had before is not metame in tuma that came through the avir. It's only metame b'maga. So if one of them became tame through direct contact, then in fact the whole device becomes tame. But if there's avir alone, then the other one is not going to be metame, because the din of this chibur is again one of those cases where the Rabbanan made a heker, and this chibur is really a derabbanan chibur. Ketzed mishari noto. So if the kira is so high, what becomes the shear of the sides? Because, I mean, to say that the shear of the, let's say the kira inside is five etzba'ot high, and the shear of the lip on the side is two tvachim high. What exactly is the point at which we measure the height? Because obviously we're not looking at the lip of the chotzer as literally being a kira. We're viewing it as having a functionality because of the kira. So do we measure the height of the device from the kira? No, you said we have to look at the side of the chotzer. But do we only measure it from the side of the chotzer? Says Rabbi Yishmael, a very fascinating halacha. We measure the height virtually. We don't measure it literally. So what you do is you draw a line, or you literally take a shpud. There's Naftali's picture. The virtual area is defined by the blue in Naftali's picture. So you take the shpud, which is the spit that sometimes was put on top, remember we had before, and you put it as a diagonal from the top of the kira to the top of the chotzer. Anything within that area is a virtual kira, and that defines the height. So notena tashpud milamala lamata, and anything which is kinegda, that is called the avir. So it's a fascinating situation in which the avir is not literally surrounded by the mechitzes. It's only a virtual avir. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, nitma'a hakira, nitmeta chatzer. Nitmeta chatzer, lo nitmeta kira. I disagree with the entire approach. I see the chatzer as being tfela to the kira, but we cannot call the kira something tofel to the chatzer. So there's a question of how to learn this, whether he's talking about a chatzer that does not have shalosh etzbaot, or a chotzer that has itself shalosh etzbaos even. Hayta mufreshet min hakira. How about if the chotzer was made separately and is not connected with the kira in any way? So then, bizman shigvoa shalosh etzbaot, if the chotzer's lip is three etzbaot, it's mitami b'mago uba avir. Because even if they're not mechubar, we view it as essentially being mechubar. But if it's less than that, then shalosh etzbaot, or if it doesn't have bechlal lip, if it's just a flat surface that's there to protect from the heat underneath, then even if it were connected, according to some, it would be tahor. That's not called a chibur. And over there, if the kira was tumea, I don't care how it became tahor, even if it was b'maga, the chotzer remains tahor. How about the little feet? We talked about before actually making a kira out of feet. How about the pipute kira? So we have the small feet that stick out on top, which was, well, that's some learn, but I'm not quite sure. Yes. Oh, I see. It's showing an upside down kira. So the pitputim, I mean, there's two ways of learning this. To show the kira from its bottom literally, which is what this is showing, or that same picture flipped would be the pipute kira on top, where we allow something to have a place to place the pot, not directly on the fire. This is similar to our stovetops, which use a grating. That grating that holds the pot above the flame would be the equivalent of pipute kira, according to some. That's the Rambam learns, not like this picture. Or other Mefarshim learn like that picture, that it's underneath.
You couldn't flip this picture because it doesn't have two stovetops. right?
Okay, it's not, it's the equivalent of a kupach, true. It's not very accurate. Okay, I don't want to take the time because we're beyond our time over here. I would show you the other book's pictures. So the question is, if you've got three of these lakes, and each one of them has a height of three etzba'ot, so then if the kira is tame, doesn't matter how it's tame, maga, or even avir, the pitputim are considered to be part of the kira itself. And even if the avir was between the pitputim, the kira would become tame. But if it's less than shalosh etzba'ot, there not only is it not tar, it's even a koshike that it's tame. Because the more that the pot is closer to the fire of the kira, again, this is the Rambam's approach, so then koshikein is part of the kira and will be matame, the maga, and so on. Even if you've got four separate feet, where you think that all of them aren't really all that necessary, if they're pitputim, and they are still considered to be part of a kira, even though it's not the derech to have four, but only to have three. Okay, we'll have to finish up our seventh parak tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. I think it would be a great idea if maybe every once in a while we would review the issues of each of the parakim as we start the next parak, so we should know where we're holding. So maybe when we get to the beginning of a parak, at the beginning of one of the days that we're learning, we should just go over and say, Perek Rishon dealt with this, Perek Sheni dealt with this. This way we retain a concept of the flow of the Masechet, which I think would be very useful. Masechet Kelim, Perek Zion, and we're holding in Mishnah Hay. We were right in the middle of discussing the sugya of the Pitputin. Remember, we had a Malach Machlokas between the Rambam. Let's call it the Rambam on one hand and the Rosh on the other hand. It might say a lot of Mefarshim are involved in this Machlokas. And the question was, if you made these pitputim, according to the Rambam, the pitputim are little raised feet above the surface of the kira, that is the equivalent of the grates that we use on our kiraim, which lifts the pot slightly above the flames. And the Rosh learns that it's talking about feet underneath the kira. So again, we'll try to do this, Liba the Pshat and the Rambam. So yesterday we were saying that as long as you don't have that distance of the shalosh etzba'ot, because remember, shalosh etzba'ot is what we consider to be the heating range of the kira. So if it's more than shalosh etzba'ot, then that kills it, because that allows for the escape of heat. Now, in Mishnah Hay, we're talking about a case where natal echad mehem. Suppose one of the three extensions, or according to Rush, one of the 3 feet of the kira fell off, then they would be metame. Only the area would be metame b'maga and not b'avir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, you know what that means. Every time we find that nonsense, because be metame b'maga not b'avir, is fundamentally nonsensical. Since a kli cheres is going to be metame b'aviro, by definition, so to say only if something touched the tanur or the kira inside, then if you touch it on the other side with Eichlun Umashkin and it comes into contact with it, then the Eichlun Umashkin are Tmei. But if something was Metame, the Kira Ba'avir, it's not Metame, makes zero sense. And the only reason that we have a halacha like this is in cases where the Tuma is a Darabonan, and the Rabbanan always say something nonsensical about the halacha to alert people to the fact that we're dealing with a Darabonan and not a D'oraita, in order, Shelo Yisrafu, the Truma V'Karat Shem Aleihem, right? So now, that means the moment we saw this, we knew what Rabbi Meir was saying. Rabbi Meir was basically saying that the Chachomim were Gezer on this, and that would be a din of Yad, and wherever we find that there's that din, it's only a Gzera, and they made this hacker. Fine. So this would be an example of that. Rabbi Shimon says there is no such gezerah, and he is metayer, the pitputin, they no longer are functional, according to him. Now, suppose you made initially only 2 wider feet instead of the typical 3, or 2 wider, this is going according not to Rambam's Strat, if you take a look at Naftali's picture. So over there he's got 2 wide feet on either edge, plus the little hole for the opening of inserting fuel into the, this is a kupach, really not a kira. And the way we would have it, of course, is flip that upside down and take away the hole. You got an iPad, man. All you got to do is touch a button, right? So you got to take away the hole. And that would be a different way of supporting a pot with wider legs. So then it would be completely tame, and we'd be metami b'mago u'mavir dev Rebbe Meir. Whereas Rebbe Shimon says that it's totally tahor, because less than three of these pitpotim is not the derech bichlal of building a kiraim, and therefore it's not meant to be a typical kiraim. It's not considered to be the kli that the Torah was metame. Now suppose they stick up more than three etzba'ot. Now that's a problem. Once you stick up through more than three etzba'ot, that area is an area that allows for the escape of heat and therefore is not part of the kira. What is the din in such a case? Well, mishalosh v'lamatan mitami b'magam ha'avir. Anything less than three is considered to be part of the kira. The rest of it can be cut off. And so that area above three, that doesn't count. Mishalosh v'lamalan, there is a gzera derabanan, so we treat it like a yad, and it's matami b'mag, it's not matami b'avir, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. And according to Rebbe Shimon, there is no such thing, and there was no gzera, and they're matayar completely. Now, it also happens that sometimes the pitpotin extend outward from the kirayim. Naftali, a picture, please. Doot, doot. Okay, there we've got extended little feet. See, they're coming out from the outside. Or, if you flip it, again, it's an extended grate, like the Rambam, who puts the pot on top of these extensions. And again, we have the problem of, if there are more than three etzba'ot, then we've got heat escaping. So what's the din? So if there are v'shuchim min ha'tzafa, b'tol shalosh etzba'ot, the area that's within three etzba'ot of the kiraim, is mitami b'maga b'avir, outside of the three etzba'ot, a Rebbe Meir again holds that we still consider it to be part of the kira, at least min rabbanan, and we're metame it as if it's a yad, and therefore it's metame b'magav, in a metame b'avir, the Rebbe Meir. And again, Rebbe Shimon goes for shitato. It is not a typical kira. The pieces that are added runically, we don't look at it as if we've removed the rest of the pieces, and it's not a good kira. Mishnah Vav. Ketzad misharinotum. Now, the same way that we had the problem before, where we had the chotzer of the kiraim, and we wanted to know, how do we measure the airspace of three? Because remember that the airspace extended. Oh, I see. I wasn't making out the blue area there. Okay. So before, remember, we had the shayla of drawing a diagonal virtual line from the top of the kiraim down to the top of the rim that was part of the chotzer surrounding the kiraim, and that created a virtual airspace. What about over here? We're going to have to do the same thing. How do we define the virtual airspace of the place that is betok sholosh, where you set the airspace? I mean, what is an airspace when the little extensions or legs, depending on how you learn, only cover a small area? I mean, but there's got to be that virtual airspace that's considered to be part of the kira. How do we define the virtual airspace? So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, look, noten et hakana, you take a ruler and you put it between the three legs. So in other words, what you do over here is shalosh etzba'ot. First you measure distance of shalosh etzba'ot to the edge of the kiraim, right? Then you take a ruler, you put the ruler between one of these pitpotin and the next, and anything that was between the ruler that went from one pitpot to the next, as Naftali is holding up, you see the triangle, the virtual triangle? So first we have the area in white, which shows our first measurement of shalosh etzba'ot. Once we get to that shalosh etzba'ot from the kiraim, we then measure with a ruler straight edge across from one pitpot to the next, and that creates the virtual airspace. Mina kanav lechutz is tahor, mina kanav lefnim, including the place of the ruler itself, is considered to be tamei. That ends Perek Shvi. And now we are ready for a fankton the Halakha Perek, except that we don't have any of our fanktoners around. So I will have to do the honors myself.